Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Once again, I hope this finds you well and that you are sensing the love of the Lord, that His face is in fact shining on you. Okay, a couple introductory things. I want to reemphasize this new program that's being developed for pastors called Realign. It's an opportunity for pastors to gather together with others, do some learning, some growing, some episodic engagement that will help them sustain ministry for the long run. It's not going to be a time to learn better skills about preaching or teaching. It's going to be more about how we can go deeper, well, deeper in the very journeys that I've been talking about over the last couple podcasts, how to develop a deeper intimacy with the Lord, how to allow the Lord to really bring deep change to us inside, and also how to develop communities that are supportive of one another. Because ministry is just not easy. It's tough. And these three journeys can make all the difference in the world. If you have a pastor that you think would benefit from this program, or you in fact are a pastor, I would encourage you to get a hold of Jeff Franks at HCM International. You can find the information on the HCM International website. Have a conversation with him. I think that right now there are some amazing opportunities, some scholarship opportunities available. I think it would be a great ministry to a pastor. I hope to be involved with that. I plan to, and I think God's going to bless some people richly because of it. So I just finished, yesterday, a four-day intensive seminar on prayer. I was so blessed to have 15 people sign up. I limited it to 15. And we spent 4 days together looking at Scripture, learning how to pray, stretching, covering various themes like intercession and spiritual exercises. And it was a great time for me. I think other people were blessed by it, but I know for me it was wonderful. And there were a lot of reasons why it was wonderful, not the least of which is that the presence of the Lord came and we were able to experience Him. That was fantastic. But I think one of the key issues of our time together was the fact that we were spending time together. We did things as a group. Some of them ate their meals as a group. We did a lot of small group exercises with groups of two and three. And by the second and third day, there was a deep bonding that occurred. It enabled us to kind of extend our willingness to be vulnerable and to grow and to have deep conversations. We were experiencing what Jesus talked about when He said, "Where two or three are gathered, there I will be in the midst of them," right in the midst. You know, hanging over my desk as I'm doing this podcast is my wood carving of the Lord's Supper. It was done for me as a special gift. And what's unique about this, not only that it's done in wood and hand carved, but it's a symbol of all together in one place, together. And so the carving has Jesus at the center extending the cup and the bread to the 12 disciples, but they are all gathered around Him. An experience of Christian community, togetherness. Wow, Christian community has been huge all through Scripture, hasn't it? By the way, there's an author that I really appreciate, Jean Vanier. One of his books talks about community, and he makes the case that God is a community, three in one, deferring to one another in ecstatic dance, and that God, in fact, invites us into that experience of community. This is foundational to the Christian life. And in a society like ours that seems to prioritize individualism, there's something about community that can really change our lives. And not just gathering together in a crowd, but to really be together in some deep and meaningful ways. A number of years ago, oh my gosh, it's almost 40 years ago, I did a study in seminary on utopian societies, and I had the opportunity to go spend a day at a Bruderhof, a German community down south of Uniontown, Pennsylvania. These are plain people who had gathered in community to extend their life to one another. Now, I admit that's an extreme form, and I was pretty convinced I couldn't do it after I spent a day together, but there was a joy that, oh, I could feel it as I was there. As a matter of fact, Benjamin Zablicki ended up writing a book called the Joyful Community about Bruderhof Society, how important it was that people gather together in the name of Jesus and bond with one another. This is all through the scriptures, isn't it? I mean, we see that God put the children of Israel in families and clans and tribes in the nation, that when Jesus gathered together, he ministered in the context of a community. He gathered the 3 and the 12 and the 70 and the 120, and then from there. And certainly Paul emphasized greatly the importance of being in Christian community, so much so that he said in Ephesians chapter 4, I urge you, maintain unity. I urge you to maintain unity. One of the dear saints that used to be a professor at Ashland Theological Seminary was Dr. Luke Kiefer, a wonderful man. He came from the Brethren in Christ, had spent his entire life serving Jesus. And I heard him teach on community, and he loved to use the word homothumadon, homothumadon. It's taken from Acts chapter 1, the whole idea of them being together in one place. And it has this notion of being together without pretense. No playing can you top this. Instead, a people gather together around the name of Jesus, even admitting in vulnerability our own weaknesses so that the Lord can come in and really touch us at that very place. How many scriptures there are about the one another's, love one another, okay, be faithful to one another, uplift one another, encourage one another. The one another is very important. And Jesus himself said in John 13, we would be known as his because of the degree to which we love one another. Love is the manifestation of the presence of God. Ephesians really emphasizes the body metaphor, as does 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, the idea that we need one another. We're not in this alone. And then, of course, Revelation, where it says that every tribe and every nation will be gathered around, giving praise and glory to Jesus. And what about the book of Ecclesiastes that talks about two are better than one? And a cord of three strands is even better. You know, Saint Benedict, in his vows, had a vow of stabilitas. Stabilitas. Stabilitas is the structural steel in his mind of Christian growth. It's the willingness to come into a community and stick it out there for the long haul in order that the time we spend together will, well, cause us to rub up against one another, and that we'll not only catch the fragrance of Christ in each other's lives, but we'll also grow ourselves more deeply with the Lord. It seems that community is part of God's design. Now I'm excited, in just a matter of 30 minutes, our little community that meets every other Sunday night will be coming to our home. We're going to talk, we're going to share, we're going to fellowship, we'll eat a little bit, and then we're going to go into Scripture. And we've been doing this now for, 4 or 5 years, and it makes a difference. It becomes the place where we live out the kingdom. Community is part of God's design for growth, for healing, and for well-being. Do you know that community is the foundation of neurobiological development? We've got to be in community for the brain to develop appropriately. We need community to have empathy, which is a key to transformation. We need community spiritually so that we can be strong in the body of Christ. There's so many different issues that come to play as we begin to talk about this important aspect of life called community. You know, Larry Crabb wrote a couple great books on community. One of them is called Connecting. The other one is called The Safest Place on Earth. And he says that in the church today, there is a condition that he calls disconnection. Let me read his definition. Disconnection is a condition of existence where the deepest part of who we are is vibrantly attached to no one, where we are profoundly unknown and therefore experience neither the thrill of being believed in nor the joy of loving or being loved. disconnection. Do you know that you can be part of a church and still experience disconnection? As a matter of fact, you get into that crowd, it appears to have an intimacy, but it's a false intimacy. Not only that, sometimes in church we develop codependencies. And there becomes a pathology in the life of the church, a pathology of isolation, a pathology of measuring up, a pathology of judgment, a pathology of pretense. And what God wants us to do is to come together in His name in a context of life and vulnerability in order that we can truly experience what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the context of His body. I look back over my Christian life, and I have to admit, my tendency is that when I hurt, I isolate, which is the worst decision I could ever make. Also, I guess to some degree, I would say that I've been emotionally lazy because community's hard work. It really is. I mean, we kind of bump up against each other, and there are times when it takes a little extra grace required. But being in community is part of the command of Christ. It's part of what it means to be His people, ecclesia, the called out ones and the ones who are called together. I have learned that isolation leads to eccentricity. But community, well, I guess it kind of knocks the chips off our shoulders, and it puts our feet back on the ground, and it enables us to have an honest, humble look at who we are and what we need and how we need to grow more together. Now, when we begin to think about this issue of community, there should be some ingredients of this community that we're willing to commit to. And I don't think there's one more important than the fact that it's Christ-centered. It's great to be with people. But if we're going to grow in Christ, we need to be in a community that keeps Jesus, His virtues and values, right at the heart. Do you have that, by the way? I'm not talking about, do you just go to a Sunday school class or go to church on Sunday? Those are important, by the way. Very, very important. But do you have a community of people that you can be honest with, that you know have your back, that will honor confidentiality, that in fact will help you grow in your relationship with God? Jesus tells us in His word that this is foundationally important, especially when He says, where two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst. You will be known as mine by loving one another. I also think that this is what the evil one really puts his crosshairs on, wanting to bring division in the context of community. We need to be involved in a community where we can discover God together, discover His presence, discover that He is at the core of all life. A community where it's safe enough to grow and stumble now and then. Even get a little road burn. That's this third journey, the upward journey into intimacy with God, the inward journey, allowing Him to change us, the outward journey into a healthy community, which in fact impacts the upward journey and the inward journey, doesn't it? When I'm hanging out with other Christians, it drives me into deeper intimacy with the Lord. It also helps me to be honest about the places inside where I need God to do a work. I think it takes community to really be a witness in the world. It's not enough to just see the individual Christian. People need to look into the life of the church and see Christians gathering and realize that how they are with one another is how God wants to be with all people, accepting, loving, delighting in, positioning for healing, for hope, for encouragement. Boy, this is the foundational issue about community. I think it's in community that we can start to really encourage one another that there's something more important than just solving problems. Discovering God and knowing God. Being, if you will, unleashed to live out of who we really are in Christ. These are some of the things that are so important in community. I want to be part of a community that can see beneath the brokenness that is me to also the nature of Christ that defines me. Now, that's going to take a non-judgmental, accepting attitude, but we can develop that with one another if we're willing to embrace the values and virtues of the kingdom. I love it when I'm part of a community that seems to have this commitment to catch a vision for what other people can become. I think when I look at someone that is struggling, that the Holy Spirit whispers to me a little phrase about the value of who they are, and all of a sudden I have this idea similar to what a child would say, I know something you don't know. I'm able to look at a broken person and say, I know something you don't know. I'm able to see beneath the brokenness to the wonder of who you are, and that we need community that's willing to pull that out of one another. I think also community is one of the ways that we resist the tug of the world to, you know, buy into the values of this world. That's one of the things I love about these people that will be coming here very shortly. They love to talk about ways that we can really dig in and then not get sucked in to the values of privilege and power and possessions, but in fact, stay faithful to Christ. There's this wonderful passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 2 about community. It comes at the end of the chapter, and it talks about the disciples were all gathered together in one place, and they devoted themselves to the breaking of the word, the breaking of bread. They shared among each other what it is that they owned, what they possessed, and they became a living witness of the life of Christ. And what's exciting about it is in the context of that community, miracles began to occur as other people looked in and saw what was taking place. And all of a sudden they were able to say, oh, how they love God, how they love Jesus. This is the foundational principle of, if you will, the outward journey. The outward journey is this opportunity for us to set aside time to grow deep in Christ with other people in order that we can experience the life that God has promised us. If you're listening to this podcast, I have to believe you have a heart for Christ. You want to grow. You want to see change occur in your lives. I believe if you're listening, you are desiring a new relationship with the Lord. And what it is I'm trying to say to you here in this little three-part series is the upward journey, the inward journey, and the outward journey are three levels of commitments that you can make, that I can make, that help us, if you will, realize the outcome goal of a vibrant life in Jesus. I don't think it's possible in this world, as we are being pressed in against by evil, darkness, and the virtues and values of a broken kingdom, I don't think it's possible to really maintain a vital Christian life without a deep commitment to the upward journey, the inward journey, and now today to the outward journey. Now, how about we challenge one another here to do a little inventory of our lives to see where it is that we are on a pilgrimage with other men and women to journey deeper to Christ and to become more like Him. And if in that, if you will, life audit, we find that we're not giving enough time to this, why don't we do a little eliminating in order to concentrate? You know, this Wednesday, if this podcast gets up before, will be the first Wednesday night of Lent. It's a time historically in the church where people were willing to lay something down in order to pick up something that would draw them closer to Christ. If you're not already in a vibrant Christian community, I wonder if it's possible for you to prayerfully consider, instead of giving up coffee or ice cream or the television, to give a little time to the Lord, to gather together in a Christian community, to do as Jesus did, to sing songs and hymns, to pray, to break bread, and to lift up the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Upward, inward, outward. I'm going to make a commitment here. Those got to be important to me. I hope they're important to you. And may God bless you till we're together again.